Thank you very much. I wish everyone else they should only have simchas and their mishpacha by all of their children, by all of their relatives. The topic of geiris comes up in Chumash Bereishis. We read in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha that when Avraham Avinu moved to Eretz Yisrael, he took with him his possessions, Bes HaNefesh HaShir Osu B'choron, and the simple translation means the slaves which he had purchased. And Chutzlaz took along the slaves. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash an additional level of interpretation that it means the geirim. Because what kind of a verb is that? HaNefesh HaShir Osu B'choron. Medrash has an expression, if all of mankind gathers together, they can't create a bug, they can't create a fly, they can't create a mosquito. So how can you create people? So it means, it refers to the converts, that one is Megayer, one participates in the geiris of a non-Jew, it's considered as if they created him. And what way is it considered as if they created him? That's an interesting comment. So the Talmud has an expression, Gershon is Gayer, Kikot and Shinola Dhamma. When a non-Jew converts, he's considered as if he's a newly born baby. In the context of the Gemara, it doesn't mean what it sounds like it's saying. It does mean it's considered like a newly born baby. The Gemara just simply means to say if two brothers, two non-Jewish brothers convert, so normally two brothers are not kosher leiders together. Let's say you have to have two Eidim by a chasana. So you have two brothers, they're posulators together. Two brothers can't serve on a bezna as dayanim. You cannot have karevim. It's a posuk in chumash. So the Gemara says if you have two non-Jewish brothers who converted, they're not considered related anymore. Halacha lemaisa, they're kosher leiders and they can serve as members of a bezna. Or, let's say if you have a brother and a sister converted, so min ha-Torah, biblically, the brother is permitted to marry the sister. Because they're not brother and sister anymore. Gershon has got kot nishanel adami. There, the Gemara says the Chachamim prohibited it. Midrabbanan kedesh lo yomra. People shouldn't say when he was non-Jewish. Then he had to live up to the strict standards of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. And now that he became Jewish, life is easier. He has less mitzvahs. So the Gemara has such a concern. Kedesh lo yomra. People shouldn't say bonim mikdusha chamura the kedusha kala. So Midrabbanan, they said that he's not allowed to marry any of the relatives that he was prohibited from marrying before. With respect to the two brothers being kosher leiders, the Gemara says even Midrabbanan, they're kosher leiders. So the Gemara says, how come there's a discrepancy? How come with respect to Arayas, respect to the boy marrying his sister, that's prohibited Midrabbanan? We're concerned, Kadesh Aliyamu, or we're afraid that it's going to be confusion. People, Jewish people will think that a brother is allowed to marry a sister. Of the confusion in that direction. The Gemara gives two considerations. That the Ger shouldn't think that being non-Jewish is on a higher level, stricter. And another consideration is, Dil Masa Dechlufa B'Yisrael. That Jews will see that a brother is marrying a sister, so they'll think they're also allowed to marry a brother and a sister. So why is it that Midrabbanan, by the marriages we prohibited, and by the Bezdin and by the Eidim, it's even permissible Midrabbanan? So the Gemara says, Arayis Lakol Moser. Everybody gets married. And they don't always ask childless whom you're supposed to get married to. And now you have to get a Mesadik, you have to get a rabbi for Mesadik Kiddushin. But in the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the early Amorim, there was no such institution as a Mesadik Kiddushin. A boy met a girl and they got married, and the chosin said the brachas under the chuppah. They didn't get any rabbi. That was a later institution. You have to have a Mesadik Kiddushin. But in the days of the early Amorim, Taisa said they didn't have such a din. Masheni can bezdin or edus. The dayanim will know the din that the two brothers, if they're both born Jewish, they're pasul edus, the pasul of dayanim, and if they converted, it's good. So there's no need for gzera derabanan over there. So in the Gemara, this expression gershon is gar kotin shenol adami. When a non-Jew converts, we treat him as if he's like a newly born baby. It doesn't really mean that we created a new person. It just means that he's not related to the relatives from before. The Zohar, though, takes it literally. If those who are familiar with the Tanya, on the first page in the Tanya, that's a book on Hashkofa written by the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, so he quotes passages from the Zohar that the Jewish soul and the non-Jewish soul are made from different material. The Jewish neshama is made from some material, mitachas kisi hakovet. We don't know what the Kisei HaKovet is, so we don't know exactly what Mitachas Kisei HaKovet is. And the non-Jewish soul is made from different material, from Klipas Noiga, something different. So the question begs itself, and if you have a non-Jew who converts, so what kind of a soul does he have? So the Zohar raises that question. People who study the Tanya raise the question when they read the first page. So the answer is given, he's quoting from passages from the Zohar. So the Zohar says, When a non-Jew converts, it's like when a new baby is born, the Malachim give him a new soul from heaven. So Gersh and Ezgak could cut in Shanila, then we give him a new soul. The new soul, the old soul is discarded, and the new soul is from Tachas Kisei HaKavod. So that's why the Medrash understands the Pasuk that when Avram and Sarah moved to Eretz Yisrael, they took with them HaNefesh HaShe Osa B'Chorim, they took the people that they created, as if they made Yesh Me'ayin. That's what the Medrash says. If all of mankind gathers together, you can't create a mosquito, you can't create a fly, how can they create people? So the answer is, if you convert someone, it's considered as if you created a new person, because it's Kikot Nishanel Adam, you accomplish that the person gets a new soul. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, he promised him he's going to develop Eschol Goy Gadol, go to Eretz Yisrael, I will make you into a great nation. And then he told him, Nivruchu B'cho Kol Mishpucho Yisro Adoma. So Rashi translates Miloshim Bracha, the non-Jews, when they want to give a blessing to their child, so they say, you should grow up to be a tzaddik like the Chafetz Chaim. You should be smart like this great tzaddik, like this great Talmid Chacham. They'll give brachas to their children, you should be gebench like the Jewish people. The Rashbam writes that he thinks v'nivruchu is miloshen harkovah. Harkovah means if you break off a branch from one tree and you attach it to another tree, let's say you have a peach tree and an orange tree. You want to make some kind of a combination between a peach and an orange. So for Jewish people, this is prohibited. Bein b'aretz, bein b'chutzlor. The Gemara says for non-Jews also, it's a biblical prohibition. Bein b'aretz, bein b'chutzlor. That's called harkovah silonis. But there are people who do it. Okay? Once you did it, so the pears that grow, the fruits that grow, one may eat. The Gemara explains based on Psukim that the pears are mutter. Only if you do Kloy HaKerem, the pears are rosa. But if you do HaKrabas Ilonis, the pears are mutter. So the Rashbam thinks that the verb V'nivruchu B'cho is Miloshen HaKove. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu that you will be accepting Gerim. Otherwise, how did Avram Avinu know that he has the right to accept Gerim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu singled him out and he said, you are going to be Jewish. V'eschol Goy Godol, your descendants will be Jewish. So the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, how did Avraham Avinu know that he had a right to make HaNefesh HaShe Osa B'Chorim, to convert all these people? So the answer is, the Rashbam says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, V'nivruchu B'cho, all the other nations will graft onto the Jewish people, you will be able to accept converts. And that's basically the claim. There are those who claim that the Jewish people are racists, the Jewish religion is racist. It's not racist. Whoever wants to join can join. Whoever wants to join will get the neshama like we have. The neshama will be switched. He'll get a neshama from Tachas Kisei HaKavod. It'll be Kikot Nishanel. It'll be like a regular Jew. He's same as anybody else. There'll be certain restrictions. Look, you can't be the president of the United States if you're a naturalized citizen. You have to have been born here in America. So the same over here. We can't appoint you to a position of Sorora. Just like the President of the United States. He can't be appointed to a position of Sorora unless you were born Jewish. If you marry, let's say the Ger marries a Jewish girl, so his children will be able to be appointed Rosh HaMemshala or a Melech Yisrael. Yesh lefalpel baze. Okay. That's exactly the pilpul. So there... There was a din of Geiris from day number one. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu singled out Avraham Avinu, for sure there was a din of Geiris. That's, in fact, it's interesting. The Gemara says the halacha recognizes different nationalities. To us, it doesn't make a difference whether a person is from the French nationality, for the British nationality, for a Japanese, or a Chinaman, Argentinian. It doesn't make a difference. But the halacha has, if you're Armani Mayavi, there are special dinim. If you're Mitzvah Vadaimi, there are different dinim. If you want an Amaleki, you have a real place in Halacha. If you're from the Chiti Amor, Aprizai Yusuf Agigoshi, Achivi Vahamori, from the Zainumis, you have a special din also. The Rambam quotes the Gemara, that was Manazek Varabat Zichrom. Most of these people are gone and forgotten, and they don't exist anymore. Basan Cherbet Bilbal is Kolhoam Kulas. And Cherev came, and he mixed up all the nationalities. So no one retains their status of Mitzvah V'Adayim. Amalek is the question, but the others are gone and forgotten. So how do you determine, if you have a mixed marriage, how do you determine the status of the children? Let's say the father's an Amaleki, the mother is not. So the mother's Amaleki and the father is not. But the father's a Mitzri and the mother is an Amoinus. How do you determine the status of the children? So the Gemara says, It's determined by the father. Whatever the father is, that's the status of the children. If you have a mixed marriage where the both parents are Jewish, so also the pasuk says in the beginning of Chumash, by midbar le mishpachosam le beis avosam, mishpachasav kriya mishpacha, mishpachasayim ena kriya mishpacha. There are two technical terms in halacha for family. There's share basar and there's mishpacha. So when it comes to forbidden marriages, because it's my sister, it's my aunt or whatever, so that it says Nechumish Ishi shall call share basar la sikr v'legal sar. But that depends on share basar. Share basar does matter. Father side, mother side, they're both considered family of share basar. Whenever there are dinim of mishpacha, take for example Yerusha. The Gemara says Yerusha depends on mishpacha. So that only depends on the father side. The mother side of the family is not considered mishpacha. So the pasuk says in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to take a census of the Jewish people, and the Rabbanu Shalom wants them to determine how many members of Shevet Yisachar are there, how many members of Shevet Zvulun, how many members of Shevet Levi, and so on. So that's determined by the father. Whenever you have a mixed marriage, and the both parents are Jewish, so it's determined by the father. That's what it says. L'mishpachosim l'beis avosim. One of the opening psukim in Chumash Bamidbar, and the Rishonim say that's the pasuk l'mishpachosim l'beis avosim. That teaches us that when you have a mixed marriage by the non-Jews, the status of the children is determined by the father. So how comes the chapel? If you have a mixed marriage and one parent is Jewish and one parent is non-Jewish, how come nobody says like that? Only the Reform woke up around 30 years ago. The Reform woke up, mishpacha sav kriya mishpacha. You look in the days of the Tanoim, there were three opinions. What's the status of the children in a mixed marriage? So one opinion was like the Reform's maskana. A lot of conservatives also adopted. If either the father or the mother is Jewish, then the children are Jewish. That's one opinion in the Gemara. The other opinion is that you need both parents should be Jewish in order that the children should be Jewish. And the accepted opinion, this was already Ozgit Paskin 2,000 years ago in the Mishnayos, accepted opinion, it all depends on the mother. So the question begs itself, there should have been a fourth opinion and there shouldn't have been three other opinions. Everybody should say, depends on the father. What happened to the Mishpachosim Leveis HaBoisim? When you have a mixed marriage and the both parents are non-Jews, so it depends on the father. If you have a mixed marriage and the both parents are Jewish, how to determine the status of the children? Kohen Levi, Israel, Shevet Zvulun, Shevet Yisachar, the Chumash says in the beginning of Bamidbar, the Mishpachosim, the Beis Avosim. So Manishtana, when you have a mixed marriage, one parent is Jewish, one parent is not, and you're trying to determine whether the child is Jewish, you should also depend on the Mishpachosim, the Beis Avosim. So the answer is that it's a klotz kasha. It's wrong. No one ever said like that. Why is it wrong? It's dead wrong. Because the pasuk says there in the beginning of Lech Lecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu, Escha legoy gadol, I will make you into a great nation, into a goy. Truth of the matter, we are the only goy in the whole wide world. The other, as a Yiddishism, we refer to a non-Jew as a goy. We refer to the non-Jewish nationalities as goyim, but that's a colloquial expression. It appears in Tanakh also, but it's colloquial. Strictly speaking, the other peoples are called Mishpachosu Adoma. We're the only goy. We're the only goy. That's why there were many Gdolim who were opposed to the Nusach HaBracha Shalom Asani Goy. They said, you should say Shalom Asani Nochri. Shalom Asani Goy is colloquial. God didn't make me a goy. We're the only ones who are going. Chafetz Chaim said Shalom Asani Nochri. Other Gdolim in Europe, they said, you shouldn't say Shalom Asani Goy. Rav Soloveitchik, they told me, said Shalom Asani Nochri. You also follow that position. You shouldn't say Nusach HaBracha is supposed to be in biblical Hebrew, in correct biblical Hebrew, not in slang, not in colloquial. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Ve'escha legoy gadol, the Jewish people will be a goy, a nation. We're the only ones that are a nation. V'nirvichu b'chol kol mishpachosu adoma, either it means they'll bless their children, you should grow up to be like the Jewish people, or nirvichu, they should graft into the Jewish people. The nations of the world, what we call nations of the world, strictly speaking, they're mishpachosu adoma. So to determine, if you have a mixed marriage, and the father's an Amoni, and the mother's an Amalekis, or whatever it happens to be, so we say, that's an issue, that's a function on mishpachosu adoma. Which mishpacha does this non-Jew belong to? So mishpacha sav kriya mishpacha, mishpacha same doesn't count. You want to determine what shevet a person belongs to, so the pasuk says, the mishpachosim lebeis avosim, that's to determine what shevet you belong to. There's mishpachas kahuna, mishpachas leviya, that's the Gemara's expression, that's a function of mishpacha. To determine whether you're Jewish cannot depend on mishpacha. For haraya, there's an institution of ageris. A non-Jew can convert, he's not mishpacha to anybody until he gets married, so he's a mishpacha to his wife. Kol zman doesn't get married, it's not mishpacha to anybody. So how can he be Jewish if he's not Mishpachas HaYehudim? The answer is that Jewishness is a function of Am Yisrael, of Goy, being part of this nation. It's not a function of being Mishpacha. That's why there never was a Tan in the world who thought that it should depend on the father's side because of Mishpachas Avkari Mishpacha. There was one opinion in the Tanoim, in the days of Tanoim, either the father or the mother is Jewish, all the children are Jewish. And then there was an opinion that you need both parents to be Jewish. And the Mishnah quotes the accepted opinion was that it depends on the mother, but it doesn't depend on the father. Can it be a function of Mishpacha because it's not a matter of Mishpacha? Yeah, we have an institution of Geiris. So being Jewish cannot be a function of being part of the Mishpacha of the Jewish people. So there was an institution of Geiris in the days of Avraham Avinu. That's how the rabbis had a tradition. Avraham is Begayeris HaNoshim, Historim Begayeris HaNoshim, HaNefesh Asher Osu Bechoron. In the Gemara increases on Daf Tes and Aleph, the Gemara establishes all of the principles of Geiris based on Maimon HaSinai. When the Jewish people had the Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina at Har Sinai, and they said Na'aseh V'Nishma, so that was the Kabbalas on Mitzvahs, that's the essence of Geiris, when a non-Jew agrees to observe all the Mitzvahs in the Torah. And then the Gemara puts together like this. In Mitzrayim, before they brought the Korban Pesach, everybody had a bris milah. There was a national bris milah. So the Gemara says that bris milah was, you read the Chumash, you get the impression, that was in order to be able to eat Korban Pesach. Kol ora lo yechol bo. If a person is not gemalt, he can't eat Korban Pesach. The Gemara says, what it sounds like in the Chumash, that's only half of the story. The rest of the story was that bris milah for the men was to lead up to the Geiris at Har Sinai. That was the first step. Then you read the Chumash, it sounds like only the married people had to go to mikveh at Har Sinai. The single people, why do they have to go to mikveh? There was an issue of poletus shechvazer, an issue of balkeri. But if a person is nishkan balkeri, nishkan poletus, what's they have to go to mikveh for? The Gemara says, no, that's half the story. The married people had to worry 3 days in advance. They had to have prisha, should meet poletus. The single people also had to go to mikveh. The Gemara proves it based on psukim. No, everybody had to go to mikveh before Maimon Har Sinai. Why? Because that's for the Geirus. And then they brought Karbonis on the occasion of Maim HaSinah. So why did they bring Karbonis? Gilu Shechina? I don't know why. It's like when you come Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, when you visit the Azara, you have to bring Lo Yirol Fanai Reikam. So I would read the Chumash, I would think. They had Gilu Shechina there at HaSinah, so they're obligated to bring a whole bunch of Karbonis. At the end of Parshas Mishpatim, it says they brought Karbonis. Gemara says, no, that's half of the story. The rest of the story is they had to bring karbonis. Every ger hamizgayer has to bring a korban. So the Gemara is, and then we have another pasuk that says, "Kochem ka'abasechem, you and the future generations should fear zach. You should act in the same way your forefathers acted at the occasion of Har Sinai. Ma'abasechem la'nichnasu lebris, just like your forefathers at the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai became Jewish. The geiris was done al de milo tvilo." And Korban, the Gemara's Lashon is Hartzoaz Domim, and the Rambam writes Korban. So too, throughout all the future generations, the way to become Jewish for a man, a woman does need Mila, Tfilah, and Korban. Why doesn't the Gemara mention the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs? The Ger has to be Mekabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. So some professor in Eretz Yisrael put out a scholarly book a couple of years ago. This Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs shtick, this was invented by the Beis Yitzchok in the 1850s. Rav Yitzchok Shmelkis was the Rav in Lemberg. He invented this thing. There never was such a thing before. So there's some rabbi here in Manhattan who published a whole essay in English that the professor is right. I don't know. Someone mentioned this to Rav Soloveitchik years ago. This rabbi from Manhattan printed this in Tradition many years ago. So I remember Yitzchok Hendel mentioned it to Rabbi Soloveitchik. So he said, it's utterly ridiculous. That's the ABC of what Geiris is all about. The Gemara only has to learn that from Sukkim that you need Mila, you need Tvila, you need Karban. Those are the Maaseh HaGeiris. But the essence of Geiris is Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. The Gemara talks about the Kusim. The Kusim were a nationality of non-Jews who were relocated. They lived in Kusa, a city in Chutzlar. They used to be of the Avodah Zarah. Then they were relocated by a certain king into Eretz Yisrael. And then they were being attacked by lions. And that was apparently an unusual thing. Today it's rare. You don't have any lions in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe years ago it wasn't so rare. But in the Tanakh it says that they considered this something unusual, that they were being attacked by lions. Trying to figure out, what did they do? So they made up a whole theory. It must be that the God of the Jewish people is the God of Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael they got to behave. So they're going to convert. But they didn't behave. in the sense of Avodah Zarah. They converted officially. I don't know who converted them, which Bezin converted them. So the Pasuk says, Es Elohim Hayu Avodim. They still continue to worship Avodah Zarah. Nothing changed ki hu zeh before the conversion and after the conversion. So the Gemara says that the lions were satisfied. The lions stopped attacking us. The lions were satisfied. The lions were good enough. So the Gemara says it was meaningless. The conversion was meaningless. There was no Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. That's called Geri Arayis. Geri Arayis means if you converted because of the lions and you never kept any mitzvahs at all. So there's nothing to discuss. There's no Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. There's nothing to discuss. The Gemara has in another context. There's Gemara at the end of the second parak in Yivam. Is Davcha Beis and Beis. The Gemara has a Machloik in Satanayim. What if a non-Jew is being attacked by lions and he understands that God is sending him a message, he better convert, and he's shaken out of his wits, and he converts and he keeps all the mitzvahs, he's petrified. If he's not going to keep the mitzvahs, the lions are going to come attack again. He wasn't religiously motivated to convert. He was scared out of his wits because of the lions, but the maisa, bottom line, he was mekabel all mitzvahs, but not l'shem shamayim. So that's a dispute among the Tanaim, whether Geri Arayos, where he wasn't religiously motivated, or let's say a boy falls in love with a non-Jewish girl, or a girl Jewish falls in love with a non-Jewish boy, and the person converts in order to marry. But Lamaisa, they keep all the mitzvahs, they believe in the Jewish religion, they keep all the mitzvahs, but the whole thing started off absolutely shalal l'shem shamayim whatsoever. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. That's called Geri Arayos, and the psak in the Gemara is that the Geri is chal b'diavad. There are two kinds of gerim. There's a ger tzedek and then there's a ger. A ger tzedek is one who is religiously motivated to convert. And then there's a mitzvah of ahavta misager. You have to bend over backwards and go out of your way to be makar of the ger. And then there's another ger. He's Jewish. He's not a ger tzedek. He was mizgayer. No great shakes. He was mizgayer. And he keeps the mitzvahs. Bal korcha. He keeps the mitzvahs. So that's what the minkacher writes in his minchas aluzer. And Rav Soloveitchik thought that was the correct pshat in the Rambam. That there are two dinim. There's a din of Ger Tzedek and there's a din of Ger. Ger Tzedek is the one who is religiously motivated. Then you have to bend over backwards. V'hafta misager. It's repeated so many times in the Chumash. And then you have a Ger. Mechetaisa, he's Jewish. Okay. So he's Jewish. Like everybody else is Jewish. So the Gemara uses, that's what Taisa points out. The Gemara uses the expression Geri Arayis with two different meanings. By the case of the Kusim, they were Geri Arayis. They were scared because of the lions and they never accepted all mitzvahs at all. So the Gemara says the Geris is not valid at all. A lack of Kabbalah on mitzvahs is Ika Chasim and HaSefer. There's no conversion at all. The Gemara didn't have to mention that you learn out from Maimon HaSinai that they said Nasim and Ishma, that they promised to observe all the mitzvahs. That's elementary. If you don't promise to observe the mitzvahs, so where is their Geris? The Gemara just mentions the Nila, the Tefillah, the Karb, one of the Maisa Geris. But this is the essence of Geris, is the Kabbalah on mitzvahs. And then the other Geri Arayis, that's a different thing. If a non-Jew converted and he keeps the mitzvah, but he wasn't religiously motivated. He didn't really do it l'shem shamayim, so then we pass him that the Geris is chal, but that's not called the Ger Tzedek.
So why people convert because of they want to get married? The b'di'evit of that?
B'di'evit, it's good if there was a Kabbalah on mitzvahs. If they promised to observe mitzvahs and they actually observe the mitzvahs, then the conversion.
And if they don't, then it's not.
So it's tamar fraud. Even though they promise at the time, they promise up and down the sphere on a stack of Bibles they're going to keep all the mitzvahs. But if you see that later on, they don't. So that's what the Gemara has an expression. Achiach sofa al tchilosa. At the time that he was doing this, we weren't so sure what he meant. But if an hour later or a week later, we see that it doesn't keep Shabbos kasher, taras hamishvacha, doesn't keep anything. So it indicates that last week everything was a fraud. That's called Hachiach Sof Al Tchilos. So the Gemara has different cases. A person gave his wife a get, and we're not sure what he meant. So if later on he commits suicide, so we know that that's what he meant. He meant that the get should be chal before because he planned to commit suicide. The Gemara has various cases where you say, at the time that he did something, we weren't sure what he had in mind, but if he does something else later, this sheds light, the psychological, it indicates what did he have in mind before.
Is there a time period where a guy say, look, I tried for 5 years, and then I gave up?
Yeah, if he tried for 5 years, and then we assume that was a good Kabbalah on mitzvah. What if it's less than 5 years? What's that? So that's a question. So they quote Rav Unterman suggested maybe 30 days. Why? Where does it come from, 30 days? There's an expression, huchzak. Let's say a person takes on a new name. A girl is getting married, and Balas Tshuva, and she never had a Hebrew name. So they tell her, L'kavod d'chasen, you should take on, instead of Christy, whatever, take up the Yiddish name. So she takes it. She shouldn't take on the Yiddish name the week before the chasana. She should take on the name at least 30 days before. So there's a concept of huchsak for 30 days. So I want them to say, maybe it's 30 days. Others assume that maybe it's a little longer than 30 days. They're not sure. 5 years for sure. If the ger was trying to observe mitzvahs, he honestly tried for 5 years. And then later on he doesn't observe. So the Gemara says in Yevamos that a ger, shechozel asura, if he converts back to his former religion, so the ger, he's considered a Yisrael mumah. He's still considered Jewish. And the gerus b'shaita was a good gerus.
The Kusim, at one time in history, considered a second-rate Jew. Second, that they
right.
were. There were many halachas that we believed in them. You drank their wine.
Yeah. In the days of the Tanaim, by the days of the Tanaim, they already were keeping a lot of mitzvahs. They were only observing Torah Shebichtav. They weren't observing Torah Shebaal
Peh. It was only the first generation that was afraid of the lion. The second one weren't lion anymore.
So the Gemara had a dispute among the Tanaim, historical machlokes. What changed? In the first generation, they didn't keep anything. So what happened later? All of a sudden, Bizman HaTanaim, they were keeping many of the mitzvahs, and they used to be medaktik even more than the Jews. Harbin medaktik about Yisim Yisrael. So is it just by osmosis? They lived in Eretz Yisrael so many years, and they started observing mitzvahs, but they were goyim gemurim. That's one opinion. And the accepted opinion is, like you say, no, Shubn is Gairu. We assume the Kusim Ageri Emes. At a later time in history, the original conversion was not valid, was not meaningful. There never was a Kabbalah on mitzvahs. But at some later point in history, from the days of the Tanakh till the days of the Tanoim, there were along several centuries. So during that span of time, at some time or another, they must have converted. So that's what we assume. Shubn is Gairu Belev Shalom. They did convert later. But then, so now they're Jewish. And now the Gemara says, Reb Meir sent some of his students to find out what's doing by the Kusim. So they found that a group of the Kusim were worshipping Avodah Zarah on Hagrizim. So Rav Meir declared that Ka'akum Gemurim L'chol Devarim. From now on, we assume the original Kusim were going Gemurim, and the conversion was Gir Shaloi Ka'alocha. There never was a Kabbalah on Mitzvah. Then we assume Shubnis Gairu, at some later point in history, they did convert. And Mizman HaTanoim, till the days of Rav Meir, till the middle of Rav Meir's lifetime, they had the status that they were Jewish. And then Rav Meir was Goyzer Aleim, that's how we pass. Rav Meir was Goyzer Aleim, Lios Ka'akum Gemurim L'chol Devarim, the Goyim Gemurim. And that's a big dispute. What does that mean, Goyim Gemurim? Going more if he shechts a behema, you can't eat it. If he writes a get, it'll be possible. What about I can sell my chometz to him also? I can use him as the Shabbos guy. So the Rambam says yes. The Rambam says when Rav Meir declared Lios Akum Gmur Mechal Demerim is Bein Lahakal Bein Lahachmer. That's what in Shulchan Aruch they point out. This Rambam is in Pirush Hamishnayis. The Rambam points out when a Jew dies, so this tumah is Maga Masa and Ohel. If you touch the mace, or if you move the mace like this, I push the mace, or if I'm in the same room with the mace. If a non-Jew dies, so there's only tumas maga masa, there's no tumas soha. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, in the end of Maseches Nida, when a kusi dies, after the Rav Meir's gzeira, it's bein lahakal bein lahachmu, the kusi is no longer metami ba'ohal. How can Rav Meir, how can he take Jewish people and declare that they're non-Jewish? How can he do such a thing? They're Jewish. The Gemara says if a Jew converts back, if a convert converts back to his original religion, Chazal Asuro, he remains Jewish. How can Rav Meir say generations after? They already converted centuries ago. Rav Meir declares that since they're over the Avodah Zarah, so they're not Jewish at all. So HaPela, how does it work? So the Sri Yesh has a beautiful essay where he points out the Gemara at the end of the first parak in Yevamos has a dispute, what happened to the lost 10 tribes? So the Gemara, the lost 10 tribes, that was blended in, they assimilated among the nations. So the Gemara has one opinion, if a non-Jew comes and gives a ring to a Jewish girl and says, Hariyat Mukadeshes, they are marrying you, so Choshishim Lekidushin, maybe his mother, all the way back to the days of Churban Bayis Rishon, before the Churban Bayis Rishon, maybe his mother's mother, all the way back is Jewish, and maybe this guy is Jewish, Asofi Kidushin. The Gemara says, we don't accept that opinion. And the Gemara's expression is Lozaza Misham, the rabbis didn't budge from the spot when they had this dispute. Ashasom Kakum Gumurim L'chol Devarim. They declared that the Aseres HaShvatim lost the Kedushas Yisrael, and it's based on a pasuk in Novi in Treyosa. The pasuk says Bashem Bagadu, they rebelled against God. Kibonim Zorim Yolodu, they intermarried and they had non-Jewish children. And goodbye and good luck. That's the end of the story. So the Novi says that there is such a thing. Even though a Jew who converts to another religion remains Jewish, but if it's a whole group of people and they floated away so far from mainstream Judaism that it doesn't look like they're Jewish at all. So the Nabi declares in such a situation they lose their Kedusha Sisera. So the Rambam is of the opinion that it wasn't only a Hirash Shor regarding the Aseres HaShvatim, but it applies to the Kusim as well. When the Tanoim declared, when Rav Meir declared, and his opinion was accepted, the Gemara says, we pass like Rav Meir, the Kusim were till the Second World War. They were Kusim in Europe.
So, the Nazis
didn't kill a Kusim. Right. When they came to a village, so the Kusim told the Nazis that they're not direct descendants of the Jewish people, they're converts. It's true. So they didn't kill them. They were only interested in killing those who were direct descendants. Apella de Gazach. They were Kusim without all the generations. Yeah.
So the Malach of the Maranis. The first generation, second and third.
Siri Yishayla? I don't know. So we assume that Kabbalah's on mitzvahs is the essence of Geiris. There is no such thing. The Rambam, Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam. Rambam writes a Loshon, Kabbalah's on mitzvahs is not me'akev. How can it be Kabbalah's on mitzvahs not me'akev? That's the essence of what Geiris is all about. So Rabbi Chaim Moshe has a tshuva. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes that he heard from his father, and Rabbi Soloveitchik said he heard from his father, who happened to be related to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's father. They're from the same mishpacha. So they all say the same thing. When the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch write that the Kabbalah on mitzvah is not miyaka, means the drama of Kabbalah on mitzvah. The Gemara has a whole dramatic. The ger is in the mikvah up until his neck, and then the bezin says, "Do you reject the Trinity? Do you accept to keep Shabbos and Kashrus as the ger is about to be tovel in the mikvah?" So the drama is not miyaka. If he was mekabel on mitzvahs the day before, if the bezin met with him the day before for an hour and a half, and they went through all the mitzvahs, and he said, "Okay," and then when he goes to the mikvah, they don't repeat it. So that dramatic Kabbalah on mitzvahs immediately prior to the tefillah, so that's not miyakev. But Kabbalah on mitzvahs, of course it's miyakev. Without Kabbalah on mitzvahs, there's no geiris.
And we assume Zevel and Bas Parah, those people went off the derech later on?
Yep, that's what the Rambam writes, that all of those people, all the wives of Shlomo HaMelech, he married all of these princesses, daughters of the kings and so on. The Rambam writes Pelishti girls that Shimsha married, so the Rambam quotes in the Gemara, we assume that they converted them. So the Gemara learns out all the dinim from Maimon HaSinai. The Gemara asks the question, if all the dinim are learned out from Maimon HaSinai, so after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when it's impossible to bring karbanos, you should say it's impossible to be mekabel gerim, because he said you need three things. You need bris milah for the men, you need tefillin and mikvah, you need karbanos. And the ger, bizman HaMikdash, the ger used to bring karbanos. The Mishnah is described, the ger would bring Roy Balakina, he would set aside money and bring a korban oil asaif, two oifas. So what about Bizman Hazeh? You shouldn't be able to be mekabel ger. So the Gemara says, no, we have a pasuk in Chumash that says, v'chiyogaritchem ger l'doraseichem. It says you can accept the ger throughout all the future generations. Then we have another pasuk in the Chumash that speaks about a generation, v'hashimosias mikdashechem. The Chumash talks about a generation where there won't be a Beis HaMikdash. And the other pasuk in the Chumash talks about the possibility of accepting gerim throughout all the future generations. So you see that there will come a generation where there won't be a Beis HaMikdash, and you'll still be able to accept gerim. So Gemara says, you see from the pasuk that the karbanos is not ma'akim. Bizman she Beis HaMikdash ha'yikayim, you should bring the karbanos, but bizman she'en Beis HaMikdash kayim, you can be mekabel gerim without. For many years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the practice was that the gerim would set aside money, leave it in an envelope. They were hoping the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt any day. So they set aside the money that l'kishei bona Beis HaMikdash, all of these gerim will have to bring korbanos. Then, these gerim died, and somehow the money disappeared. And the money was hekdash. The money was hekdash. So somebody was moel behekdash. So Rabbi Yechemen Zakkai made a takona, no more setting aside money. The practice was the ger. Rabbi Yechemen Zakkai was the chief rabbi for 40 years. He was before the Churban HaBayis and after the Churban HaBayis. So within the next 35 years or so, probably 5 years before and 35 years after, something like that. Part before the Churban HaBayis, part after. So if you 20, 30 years after the Churban HaBayis, he made a takana, no more setting aside money, it's just coming l'day mikshol. So nisht is nisht. When the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, if we'll have any gerim alive, they'll have to bring their karbanos. That's how the Mishnah is saying. A gershon is gai bizman hazeh, can't bring the karbanos now, his geris is valid. But like Shehibon and Beis HaMikdash will have to bring the karbanos.
There's certain communities that don't accept any gerim at all. Will they do that tomorrow? Will they do
that possible? No, they made a takana de rabbanon.
They wiped out the whole
puzzle. What do we do when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? So we don't blow shofar. But we didn't wipe out the whole pasuk. When Rosh Hashanah falls out the other days of the week, we do blow shofar. It's a question. At the conference that I attended today, so they were telling us that Rabbi Avadi Yosef is opposed to that takana. That takana, one of the people was telling us, that takana was instituted for the Sfardim by an Ashkenazi rabbi in South America. The Ashkenazi rabbi encouraged them they should adopt such a takana. To me, it makes good sense, as a Hirashua, to make such a takana. Any time a Jewish boy is going to fall in love with a non-Jewish girl, we can always fix it. We'll convert the girl, 1, 2, 3, and that'll solve all the problems. So if you tell a boy, we don't accept any converts, even if she absolutely converts, he can never marry her, so that'll be the end of it. He knows that there's no takana. So that saves you from all of these false geiris. It's a little bit unfair to those who want to convert to Shem Shemam, so let them go to a different business. Let them go to a different group of people. They won't marry these Syrians. The Syrians, it's the Syrians in South America, I think. They accept such a takon. So you have a right to make a takon lohayro ashor the migda milsa if you feel that it's going to accomplish something.
The Ethiopians, how does that fall into?
The question is whether the Ethiopians are really Jewish or not. The Radvaz writes a tshuva about the people, Jewish people from Ethiopia. They're from another shevet, the Jewish. But he's not talking about black Jews. He's talking about white Jews. His tshuva was not about black people who claim that they're Jewish. We're not sure whether they, maybe all the way back they accepted converts, shaloi kedin. Maybe they didn't do the laws of conversion properly. The laws of gerish and for sure they didn't do properly. So there's a question of mamzeris on them. So if we assume that they're Sophic Jews, Sophic non-Jews, so then we would permit, if they would convert, so we would permit them to get married to anybody, maybe they're mamzer, so we permit them to get married based on a sfek sfek. Maybe they were non-Jews and there's no din of mamzeris by non-Jews. And even if they were Jews, maybe they are not descendants of a woman who remarried without a get. They don't have an institution of getting. They do remarry. They do have a divorce. They do remarry, but they don't give a kosher a get. So if you should assume that they're Sufik Jews, Sufik non-Jews, so you should require a geiris misafik. But a geiris misafik means they're prepared to observe all the mitzvahs. Not just to sprinkle holy water and declare that they're Jewish. They have to say, I plan to observe all the mitzvahs. And check up to see that they're really observing. And then we would permit them to marry a regular Jewish girl. We wouldn't insist they have to marry Dafke Georis. They can marry a regular Jewish girl based on the sex fake. And maybe they were non-Jews in the first place, so there's no dita mamzeres by non-Jews. And even if they were Jewish, maybe they are not descendants of such a woman who remarried the second time without a get. I think that's the psak that the Rabbanut assumed. That you should have them do a gir misafik without a brocha. Whenever a non-Jew converts misafik, you don't say a brocha. We'll go through some of the dinim. So the Gemara has such an idea. The Gemara says the korban, since the Torah says v'chayagrit chemger, the derasechem, we have the ability to accept gerim in all the future generations. And the other pasuk talks about a generation where there won't be a Beis Hamikdash. So you see that it's possible to accept gerim even mizman shein Beis Hamikdash kaim. So you see that the korbanos are not miyakim. So there were some gedolim who held. Let's say there's a man who wants to convert, so he's supposed to undergo milah. Let's say he has a medical condition that he can't perform milah. Say a hemophiliac, or he has a heart condition, whatever, has some kind of a condition that he can't perform bris milah. So there's a ma'aseh shahaya, Rabbi Tzela Ponovich was one of the gedolim who paskin that such a person can convert without bris milah. Just like the Gemara says, they only have to bring korbanos when it's possible. When it's impossible, then you don't have to bring korbanos, mizman hazeh. So he said, you only need the bris milah when it's possible. If it's impossible, medically impossible, so then you can convert the person without. So Rabbi Chaim Moser used to, did 101 different things, 1,001 different things. So he used to raise money for the Vada Yeshivas. He used to tell us the money, he used to distribute money for all the yeshivas in Lithuania. He had in his mind how many Talmidim there are, and how much food they get, how much support from the community. Everything, he was a genius. He had a memory, unbelievable. So he once visited a Balabas's factory, and he got a donation for the Vada Yeshivas. Then Balabas shows him, I converted, and look, I have my Ksav Geras hanging on the wall. So he had a letter signed by Rabbi Tzela Ponovich, and he wrote a whole shtickel Torah in the letter that this non-Jew had a medical condition, he wasn't able to undergo bris milah, so he converted him without the bris milah, because the halacha says whenever you can't do a bris milah, it's not me'ak. The Chaim Moser told him, I'm sorry to tell you that you're not Jewish. We thank you for your donation. Sorry to tell you you're not Jewish. And he sent a letter to Rabbi Tzela Ponovich that he should stop paskening shilas. Abitzala was considered the greatest Baal Mechadish of that generation. When they wanted, when they were looking for a new Rav in Yerushalayim, who was the older Rav? Shmuel Salant. When he was getting old, so they were looking for an assistant rabbi to take over, and he retires, so they were suggesting different people. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik suggested Rav Bitzel Aponovich. And the reason why is because he said there were quite a few rabbanim from Europe who would retire, and they moved to Eretz Yisrael, they moved to Yerushalayim. So they had many Moira Hairoa, a dime a dozen. There were many Moira Hairoa. Rav Chaim held they need a big lamdan, a big Rosh Yeshiva, knows how to say knockout shurim. So he considered Rav Bitzel Aponovich was the biggest Baal Mechadish of the generation. It was a big Baal Mechadish, but Halacha L'maisa was not his strongest field. So that's Rav Chaim. That's why Rav Chaim Oizer was very upset, and he sent him a letter and he said, please, you should stop Paskin Shalom. They have a lot of Hairos, a lot of Psokim from Bitzel Aponovich, which are all a little off. His Chidushim are fantastic. But the bottom line, Halacha L'maaseh, it's very questionable. So this is one of his chidush. The Bnei Yisoscha, the Chassidus Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel Chedinaveh, has a sefer called Derech Pikudecha. A sefer on the Minyan HaMitzvahs. It only goes to the middle of Mishpatim. He does 50 some odd mitzvahs. I think they're not sure whether the rest of the manuscript was lost or Min HaShemayim, that's all he wrote. They're not sure what it is. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it in one place from the Derech Pikudecha. So he writes on the mitzvah of Milo. First mitzvah is Pirivirivya, second mitzvah of Mila, third mitzvah is Gidanoshim. So in the second mitzvah of Mila, he talks about Mila of a ger. So he assumes that if you have a non-Jew who has a medical condition, he cannot convert without Mila. That's a double poshut. He does not agree with Rabbi Tzela Panavisha. He just has a suffix. A Jew is not permitted to put his life bisakana. Let's say a Jewish baby will be in suffix sakana if you perform a bris Mila. So chalili, you don't do the bris Mila. If there's a suffix sakana, a svek sveke. A far-fetched svek sveka of a sakon, he don't perform bris milah. So he declares a shaila, is the nochri permitted to be meisa nefesh for Yiddishkeit? Literally. He's allowed to put his life into danger in order to become a yid. That's because he's allowed to be meisa nefesh for Yiddishkeit to undergo bris milah, even though he knows that he may die. So he has a pilpul about that. Is he permitted? But he assumes a davar pashut, not like Rabbi Tzela Panavisha. He cannot become a ger. Let's say a person lives in a country where there's no mikveh. There's no water, there's no mikveh. He can become a ger without mikveh. Can become a ger without... That's ridiculous. How can you say such a thing? So generally speaking, this is not accepted. Rabbi Tzela's chiddush is not accepted. Only by korbanos, we assume that the three requirements for ger is mila, tefila, korban. Mila and tefila do the ger, and the korban is, after he already converted, it's a mitzvah on him to bring a korban. If he does bring the korban, the ger is complete anyway. Even his mancha beis hamikdash ha'ikayim. We assume the Geris would be complete even without it. The Gemara in another place, that's the Gemara increases the Aftes and Medav, learns everything out from Maimon HaSinai. Just like our forefathers on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai became Jewish through Mila, Tefillah, and Korban, so too throughout all the future generations. Then there's another Gemara in Yevamis where the Gemara says, A Ger Tzorach Shloisha, Mishpat Ksid Bey, that you need a Bezdin in connection with Geris. So the question begs itself. You're learning everything from Maimon HaSinai. Where was the Bezin of Maimon HaSinai? So maybe you say Moshe Rabbeinu was the Bezin. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu had the status. Thank you. Moshe Rabbeinu had the status like all 72.
Exactly.
So you need 71. So you need a Bezin on Gadol. Yeah, you don't need a Bezin on Gadol. So where do you learn that from? A different pasuk. So where was the Bezin of Maimon HaSinai? Then Acharonim are bothered with another kasha. What is Geiris all about? The person, the non-Jew, enters into a contract agreement with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So the both parties were there at Har Sinai. The Shechina was present. Mul Hu Elokim. The Shechina was there. There was Gilu Shechina, and the Klal Yisrael were there. When you have a Ger B'Zman Hazeh, you don't have any Gilu Shechina. So maybe you should say you should learn from Maimon HaSinai. Can only be Mekabel Ger when there's a Gilu Shechina, and you know that the other party is there. So one of the Gedolim writes in his Sefer Rabbi Shua Lekutna. Writes in the Sefer HaChoshim Mishpat, beginning of HaChoshim Mishpat, he talks about when you need a Bezin and the nature of the Batidinim. So he says, these two kashas, one of them for Emphas, the other. He says, on the occasion of Har Sinai, you didn't need a Bezin. Both parties were there. The Shechina was there, and the Klal Yisrael was there. They were standing, Mul Hu Elokim. So the two parties entered into a contract, Fartik. L'doros HaBoim, if you ever have Shechina present, you don't need a Bezin. If there's no Shechina, then we learn out from another Pasuk that if you have a Bezin, Elokim Nitzah Badaskil. The Bezin represents the Shechina, so the other party is there. The Bezin represents the Shechina, so you have the both parties there. This is an interesting deher. See, this is a question. That's what he talks about. Rabbi Shaul HaKutin talks about this. Let's say there was a non-Jew who had a bris milah done, l'shem gerus, and then he's ready to jump into the mikveh, and there are three rabbanim there, and he says, I'm going in l'shem gerus. I want to accept Shabbos kashas, everything, the whole works. I know all about it. Except, and they say, we don't like you. We don't want to accept you as a ger. We're not interested. And he says, I don't care what you want. I'm doing it anyway. So let's say a couple gets married, and you have to, Gemara says, you have to have Eidus l'kiyum adov. You have to have Eidim watching when the chassan gives the ring. Chassan gives the ring and he says, I want you to be the Eidim. He says, I don't want to be the Eidim. So he says, I don't care if you want to be the Eidim. Harei mekudeshesli, whether you like it or not. He doesn't need their permission to get married. The halacha says you have to have two Eidim watching. So what's the vart that you have to have a bezin watching by the geirus? It's a din that like you have to have three people watching instead of two people. Chassana, here it says a din you have to have three people. But you don't need their consent. Or they say, no, the bezin is mekabel the geir. The bezin represents the shechina. The bezin represents the other tzad shekenegis. So of course you have to have them. So this is a serious question. Let's say the geiris was done under some misrepresentation. If the bezin would have known what's going on, they would have never wanted to accept his geir. He put on a whole spiel, and they're not interested. They wouldn't have been interested in accepting the geir. But it's a case where the geiris would be chabri ever, but these choshev rabbanim, they don't like to get involved in the geiris b'di ever. They only like to do a geiris l'chatchila. So if the din is that it's like the tu'eidim by a chasana, so what does it matter that the ger fooled the rabbis? You had the three rabbis were watching and the ger went into the mikveh and b'di'evah, the ger is good. But if you say that the bezdin represents the shechina and there are two parties to the agreement over here, so the bezdin has to agree. And if you fool them, it's under false pretenses, so the whole ger is no good. So that's what Rabbi Shaul HaKutin claims. He thinks that the bezdin represents the shechina and it has to be with their consent. And if you fool the bezin, the geris is no good. The Beis Alevi HaChumish from Rabbi Yosef Ben Soloveitchik, the father of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, he writes something similar. He says the bezin represents Klal Yisrael. Not just the bezin's watching like the two Eidim by a Chasana watch. No, the bezin represents Klal Yisrael. We decide, we accept you into Klal Yisrael. So it has to be that they're accepting it. Not the guy jumps into the mikveh, whether you like it or not, here I am, I'm a ger. No, the bezin has to say, we accept you. So this is a serious issue. Once in a while, if the ger fooled the bezin, if the bezin would have known what the story is, they would never have accepted that ger. But it's a case where b'di'evid, the geris would be good. So maybe the ger is only good b'di'evid if he didn't fool the bezin. But if he fooled them, and they never agreed, so it could well be that the whole geris is not valid. There is a question in the Gemara. The Gemara says you need a bezin for geris. Is the bezin really le'ikuva? Is it? Maybe it's only lechatchila. Maybe it's not miyakeh b'di'evin. So the Rif in Yevamis asks a kasha. All the Rishonim ask the same kasha. And the Rif sounds like that's what he says. The Rif sounds like he says the whole need for bezin is only lechatchila b'di'evin. You don't need. So that's what one of the Rabbonim published in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik. That once in a while you have a non-Jew who is converted by a conservative bezin, but at the time that they converted, they accepted mitzvahs and they keep on growing and growing. They keep all the mitzvahs. They keep Taras HaMishpacha, keep everything. At the time that they converted, every so often happens, they didn't realize what's going on. They didn't realize that the conservative rabbis drive to shul on Shabbos and so on. They're not shomer mitzvahs. So one of the rabbanim published the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik. He thought that that's a suffic geiris. What's the suffic? The suffic whether the conservative bezin is good? No, that's a vadai. That is not good. That's not the suffic. The suffic is maybe the Shilti Gibarim is right. Shilti Gibarim read the simple reading of the Rif that the bezin is not miyakev. You don't need the bezin at all. The ikuv lechatchili need a bezin, but the eben is not miyakev. So Rabbi Soloveitchik thought if you have a Jew who is converted by a conservative bezin, should you try to encourage him to keep mitzvahs, or should we tell him, look, fella, you're not Jewish, just forget it. You can be Mechal Shabbos. So you thought you should encourage him as a Suffolk, you should encourage him that he should convert again. You should encourage him that he should keep mitzvahs. Maybe he is Jewish. And when he decides to convert the second time with an Orthodox Bezin, he shouldn't say a bracha. Maybe the first geiris was Chal. Of course, provided that there was a Kabbalah on mitzvahs the first time. Usually when you have a conservative conversion, there never was a Kabbalah on mitzvahs in the first place. And no Kabbalah on mitzvahs, so there's mamish nothing. I remember a Maisa Shoy many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, Rabbi Sal Roth asked me to speak in his shul about Dina de Malchusa, Dina and paying taxes. So I gave the talk. So then in the middle of the talk, apparently I said, that just like it says in Chumash, that a ganef is posseleidus, a person doesn't pay taxes, a ganef, it should also be posseleidus. The only thing is that the Gemara has a principle that if a person gambles in a way, he says, everybody does that. Everybody cheats on income tax. The President of the United States, the judges, the senators, everybody does that a little bit. Some do it in excess, way more than others. But if he says everybody does that, so the Gemara calls that a ganef nisan, ganef tishrei. That the farm helpers in the farm who would help pack all the potatoes in the bushels, so certain seasons of the year, they would walk off with extra potatoes in their pockets. They would gamble a little bit. Even though it's outright geneva, they know it's not right, but they say, yeah, everybody does it. It can't be so bad. So even though it's ganef b'mezid, it's a little bit b'shogig, so the Gemara says the kosher leivus. So I said that a person cheats a little bit of taxes is zayvran geneva, but you can't say that pasul leivus because the moira heta. So a couple of months later, I get a letter from, I think a conservative rabbi, I don't know, somewhere from the south. He got a tape of the lecture that I gave in the Fifth Avenue Synagogue, and he always wondered when he does conversions, so sometimes he always tries to get choshevik conservative rabbis with him, but once in a while he has no choice, he has to use some of the balabatim. The balabatim don't keep anything. So he thought maybe, just like I said, the Moira Heter, if it's all b'shogegs and it's not so bad, so you kosher leivus, and maybe they can serve as members of the Bezin. What do I say? I didn't know how am I supposed to write a letter. Dear Rabbi Pliny, it had his name on a stationery. So I wrote on the back of the letter, just in Hebrew. I didn't write dear anything. So I wrote, I think there's a difference between Aiden and Dayona. An aid, if he doesn't have air b'shogeg, so he's kosher leivus. But for a person to be a dayan, that's not good enough. That he's Moira Heter. He does geneva b'shogeg, is kosher to be a dayan. One of the conditions of a dayan is he has to have a good reputation. I remember once one conservative rabbi was telling me there was an issue about a conversion that was done by conservative rabbis. So this conservative rabbi was a fruma. This one was his wife went to mikveh and his children learned in the yeshiva. A nice fellow, but he was a rabbi in a conservative synagogue. And he had other conservative rabbis who would participate with him to do a conversion. So he was asking me about the conversion. So I said, well, we don't accept conservative rabbis because they're not kosher leivus. So he said, but they all do it l'shem shamayim. They all take the conservative position. It's a rabbonus for kiruv. He tells me it's a rabbonus for kiruv. So I said, but they don't keep Shabbos. So he said, what did he tell me? Yeah, but I said, the din is you have to have a good reputation. So he said, they all have a good reputation. All this concern, they all have a good reputation by their balabatim. So I said, you have to have a good reputation by the religious Jews, not by their balabatim, have a good reputation. So there is such an opinion. The Rif sounds like he says that the Bezdin is only l'hatchila, and b'riyevit, if you had a real bona fide Kabbalah on mitzvah, the Bezdin not miyak. You look in Shulchan Aruch, that opinion, what they say, Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's a suffix, you should treat a suffix. Shulchan Aruch, you don't get that impression. You get the impression that Bezdin is Likuva. The Bezdin is Me'akim. The only question is, at which stage is the Bezdin Me'akim? So sometimes, let's say you have a man who wants to convert, and there was no Bezdin when he did the Bris Milah. So is that Me'akev or not? So the general Shulchan Aruch, they say l'chatchili should certainly have a bezin. So we pass him b'di'evid, that's not miyakev. But when we have such a case, every so often we have such a case, they have parents adopted a baby, or the chveis, the wife is not Jewish, the husband is Jewish, the wife is not Jewish, and she finally decides she wants to convert, and they're converting the baby also. So they invited the moil to the home, and the moil didn't have a bezin. He should know that didn't. The moilim should know. When you have a bris milah and a baby, l'shem geirus, l'chatchila is supposed to have a bezin. But yeah, but if you didn't have a bezin, so we will accept it. Most rabbanim will accept it. So we'll write on the document, though, that the milah was done shaloi b'fnei, it was b'di'evid, because the milah was done shaloi b'fnei bezin. So if anyone in the future will not be happy about it, so they'll give us a chanetza, what they'll do. But generally speaking, it's accepted. What if the person was tovel in the mikveh and there was no bezin by the tefillah? So that's two opinions in Tosfos. One opinion in Tosfos says you really only need the bezin by the kabbalas al mitzvahs. When you do the bris milah, when you do the tefillah in the mikveh, you don't really need a bezin. Lechatchila, the Gemara says you do. You have the bezin standing there when he's up to his neck in the water, and they do the Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs B'Shas Tefillah in the Mikveh. But yeah, the Taisus says that's not Miyakev. You only need a bezin for the Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah. And the other opinion of Taisus is no, that the bezin has to be present watching, because the tefillah is what clinches the geiris. The din is supposed to have the milah first and then the tefillah second. So the tefillah is supposed to be the moment that counts. That's when the non-Jew is becoming Jewish. That's when you need the bezin.
Did Matan Torah do reverse? Matan Torah, we have the divorce, we can see Matan Torah is divorce from Mitzvahs, and
they had the milah Mitzrayim, and then they had the tefillah right before Maimon HaSinai.
And then Kabbalah.
Ah. They had mitzvahs from before. They had the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Maybe they had some mitzvahs before. Then the rest of the mitzvahs weren't given yet till later. Okay.
Excuse me. How do you say that about an adopted child? It's done every single day. The world comes in. They don't know if the kid is Jewish or not. And he makes a bris. Where did you ever see anybody? Where did you ever see a bris standing with a bris?
No. They're supposed to ask if it's a if the mother is Jewish or not Jewish.
Are you asking the kid?
No, you have to ask the parents.
Who?
You have to ask the parents.
Whose parents are you asking?
You, no,
you mean the adopters?
No.
They don't know either.
No. If they're adopting a child from Afghanistan or something, so we assume the child is not Jewish. You go Basarayv. You go Basarayv, Rabbi Moshe Fein. No, and here in America, a lot of times you have, let's say, the husband is Jewish and the wife is not Jewish. And they already have a child, and then when the wife is good and ready, so she wants to be Megayer, and they want to be Megayer the baby as well. So the milah on that baby should be done lechatchila b'fnei bezin. That's a milah shel geiris. Or when you do a milah, you adopt a non-Jewish baby, so you should have the moel, should have another two religious Jews there. It's not just enough to have a big crowd. You have to have three people constitute a bezin and have in mind that this is a milah l'shem geiris.
Don't you have the bris on the first day and not on the eighth day?
If you want to, you can have it on the first day.
Aren't you supposed to?
No, whenever you're prepared to begin the geiris procedure. It doesn't have to be the first day.
Kaspo, okay. No,
Miknas Kaspo.
What you supposed to buy?
Miknas Kaspo is Nima Le'echa. That's if you bought an Eved Kanani and Miknas Kaspo. But if you want to adopt...
You want a baby?
You do whenever you're ready to perform the bris milah. So you should see to it that you have a bezin lechatchila. So we paskin that b'dieved, if the bezin was not present by the milah, that's okay. What if the bezin was not present by the tefillah? So that's two opinions in Tosfos. So for many generations there were tzaddikim, big talmid chacham tzaddikim, who whenever there would be megayer, a non-Jewish woman, they would not stand in the room when the woman is in the mikveh. They would stand outside of the room, or they would stand across the street. And then the mikveh lady would tell him that they took the woman into the mikveh. And other gedolim insisted, no, that the bezin has to be present. The woman, of course, wears a bathrobe. It does not. If it's a tight bathrobe, it's going to be a chatzitza. It's not a tight bathrobe. And the bezin doesn't have to look at her face. She has the back to them. And they review the mitzvahs again. And then they see when she puts her head under the water, and then the bezin walks out of the room. So there were different practices in Europe and in Eretz Yisrael, different. There were many tzaddikim, gedolei Torah, who insisted dafke the rabbanim should not be present in the room when the woman is tefillah. So there was a dying Grossnans who used to be in London, he learned Radin for years. He was a Levi, he used to brag, he used to pour the water on the Chavetz Chaim's hands when he was duchen on Yontif. He was a favorite of the Chavetz Chaim. He was a Yekke who learned in Litvish Yeshivas. That was an unusual thing. So then he retired to Eretz Yisrael. So he has a long tshuva about this, and Levi Arya, and his tshuva has a long tshuva about this. And he sent his the Dayanim in London Bezdin, when they write a long tshuva that's a major bir halacha, so they usually print it as a separate pamphlet. And he sent it out to different rabbanim for their opinion, and sent a copy to Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva to him. Moshe didn't know his name. So he has a mistake. He thought his name is Grossnam. His name is Grossnas. So he has a tshuva to him. He says he agrees with him that it's a sfeiket adina. And he says, any woman who is converted by a bezdin and the bezdin is not present in the room should really go to mikveh again without a bracha and have the bezdin present in the room. So there are takeh women who did that. There were women who were converted years ago, and then when the rabbanim realized that Rav Moshe Feinstein said that that's a sfeiket adina, so they would be tovel in the mikveh again in the presence of the bezdin, b'li bracha, misafik. Rav Moshe said you should be machmer on that.
But was it shot that Sarah was Magayer's, the Nashim? That sounds like a kafeda that it was that Anoshim on the Gayer is Anoshim and Anoshim.
I think we assume that Kodim Atatar, this din didn't apply. Bezin, for sure, didn't apply. Yeah. This din is only after Matan Torah.
What about the Kabbalah's mitzvahs for the Kabbalah?
Kabbalah's mitzvahs for a Kabbalah. The Gemara talks about converting little children. So the Gemara says, based on the principle of Zochen Liyadam Shalai Befana, we assume that it's in the best interest of a person to be converted. If a person is already an adult, he's a teenager in his 20s, and he's already used to living like a non-Jew, so that's not. We have no right to assume it's going to be a schus. You're not doing him a favor. He likes life as much easier. But if you take a little child who is a dying like Tom time of the Yisur, he doesn't know what it's like to eat chazer, to run around with the women, and to shikir zechon and so on, so then we assume that that's a schus for the child. And again, provided most of the poskim hold, can only convert a little child based on the principle of Zochen L'Adam Shalei B'Fanav if the adoptive parents are going to be observant people. They promise to give them a yeshiva education. But if they don't plan, this is a big issue in Eretz Yisrael. They have non-observant Jewish people who want that they can't have children, so they want to adopt the child. But they're non-observant. They tell you in advance. They're going to raise the child to be a chiloni. So we assume, most of the poskim assume, that you're not doing the child a favor. So even if that child later on falls into NCSY and he becomes the biggest tzaddik in the world, that's not called the schutz. Zochen L'Adam Shalei B'Fanav depends on the moment that we're doing the act of zechiyah. Does it look from the perspective of the present that we're doing him a teiva? So if at the time that we're megayer him, he's being adopted by non-observant parents, he's probably going to be brought up as a non-observant Jew. So Shem Beset Tzablai Magoyv, it's a very non-observant Jew. He stands a better chance of observing the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Yenoyach than of keeping the Taryag Mitzvahs that he's never going to be educated to. So most of the poskim hold that you're not allowed to do such a conversion. So you ask a question, even if he is being adopted by religious parents, where is the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs? So that's a big dispute. What happened to the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs? So most of the commentaries on that Gemara and Ksubas Daf Yiram, most assume Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is identical with Das Geirus. So the child is a katan, he doesn't know, he's a lot bardas, he was only born, he was just born yesterday. He doesn't know anything, so that's part of the Zochen L'Adam Shalei B'Fanav. Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah is not something separate from Das Geiris. Das Geiris means Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. So since we assume that it's a Zechus, so you don't need a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. That was the general practice for many centuries. Rabbi Yashiv prefers the Pshat of the Ritva, which was never practiced for centuries, as I say. The Ritva says, just like the Gemara says, that you can be mekabel ager b'zmanazeh, even though there's no karbonis, whatever you can't do is not miyakev. So he says that the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is only miyakev if the person who's converting is an adult, and it's shaykh to talk to him about the issue of Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. But if he's a little baby, he's a lab bardas, so then you don't need any Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs till he becomes of age. Once he becomes of age, then you have to convene a bezdin and see if he's mekabel ol mitzvahs. And if he's not mekabel ol mitzvahs, then blaipta goy gomer. This was not the general practice for many centuries. We don't convene a bezdin. The Gemara just says, since the geiris for the little children is based on the principle of zochen liyadam shalei b'fanav, so when the child finds out later, when he grows up and he finds out that they did him a teiva, that they were megayer him, so Hata Brera, when he first finds out, he has a Brera to say, no thank you, I'd rather not be Jewish. The Gemara says, Higdilu Yechonim Limchas, when he grows up, if he wants to reject everything he may. But the Gemara never says, and the practice never was, that you convene a Bezdin when he gets older, and then you have a formal Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs in the presence of a Bezdin. That's where Rabbi Yashiv introduced a new practice, a new Chumrah. It's really questionable whether you're allowed to introduce new chumras in the area of geiris. The Gemara has a consideration in the beginning of Gittin. The Gemara says you're not allowed to introduce new chumras in Gittin that were never observed in earlier generations. Kadesh lo lahotzi las al doros harishonim. If you're going to introduce a new chumra, means that all of those women in the past who never observed this chumra, so their get was no good, and the children that they had from the later husbands are all mamzerim. So you're not allowed to introduce new chumras that should cause people to think that there was a pegam in a mishpacha. See, introducing a new yechoshish for a new opinion that was never quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, was never observed. A new opinion you're going to declare many people as goyim gemurim, those who never convened a bezdin at the time that Shah became bar mitzvah. So that's okay. Rabbi Yashiv does his own thing. So those who follow Rabbi Yashiv insist that whenever you have a young child being converted, so you convene a bezdin later. But that's not the general practice.
Excuse me, what does he do with the wine?
No, we assume the stam yainam that's handled by non-Jew is a din derabbanan. So we assume that Kolzman that he wasn't moicheh, he is. We assume he is Jewish. If he'll be moicheh, then we'll assume, even if he'll be lemafreya, it's oikah the whole ger is lemafreya. That's the question. Is it oikah lemafreya? Is only oikah mekanal habo? It's questionable. Yeah. The question.
We'll buy that.
Yeah, yes, that applies to a child also.
The Gemara talks about tinik ben yomo touching wine. The Gemara talks about a tinik ben yomo touching wine. So the gzera even applies in such a situation. Yeah. Pardon me. If he wants to, he can be part of the bezin. If he's an orthodox, if he's observant. Sometimes you have it. The moral is a conservative chazan, a conservative man. So then it's not right. He really shouldn't be part of the bezin.
Excuse me, I just want to call your attention. I was once an aide by a geyrus in the Marine Corps for a woman, and the tefillah is the chmat when she goes down into the water. The tefillah is when she comes up. That's Nikaya. Just a minute. And she was in there, and we saw that she came up with the head, and we walked out. So what's the problem?
Okay. Good. Okay.
I think they would assume once she went in that she came.
Once we see her when she comes out.
No. There's a whole question.
Rabbi Yosef Karo.
What's the tefillah?
Rabbi Yosef Karo writes in his Kesef Mishnah commentary on the side of the Rambam. He writes such a chiddush that when a person is tameh, goes to the mikveh, he doesn't become tohar when he submerges under the water. He becomes tohar when he comes out of the mikveh. Okay. So when the woman comes out fully dressed into the next room with a net.
Only the head has to come out.
We don't have to see the head. We tell her as soon as she goes under the water, we're going to walk out of the room. And then we see her later. She's alive and kicking, so we obviously assume that she came out of the mikveh. Yeah. We don't have to stand there until she comes out. Pardon me? Yes. Yes. It's only when the child is right before becoming bar mitzvah. If he knows that they have converted him, let's say sometimes they keep it a secret and he finds out at the age of 50. He finds out that he or she will find out that they were converted. So then many assume that he or she has the right to decide then. The first time that they find out that they were converted, that's a question. What if they knew all along that they were converted but they never knew that they had an option of rejecting it? So what about the... They knew all along they were adopted, they were converted, but they never found out till the age of 50 that they had their ability to reject it. If they would have known that, they would have rejected it from day number one. But they never told that secret. So that's a serious question, whether they can be moicha later. That's unclear. Rav Soloveitchik said he's not sure. That's what Moshe Feinstein recommends, that he says, strictly speaking, al pi halacha, you never have to tell the child that he was converted. He did an act of zochen, a zochen. You don't have to tell him. But he says, psychologically, you better tell him, because if he's going to find out later in life, his whole life is going to fall apart.
How much time can you think about it? When you tell him you're out of change your mind, how much time can you think? So you can let me think a week, a day, now?
He has to think. You have to give him a chance to think. Sometimes it takes a week. He has to think about it.
Was that the takon of the Ritva that imposes the best in there, so now they can't be mocha anymore once they have it in front of the
bed? That's not what motivated the Ritva to say. Ritva was motivated because he understood that that's the way it works, that there was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs earlier, and you need once the child becomes of age, you need a Kabbalah on mitzvahs.
What does the Moshe find, since if a child rejects the
fact that it
doesn't make a formal
mitzvah?
Not
formal.
If what
if the child rejects?
Observance of Yiddishkeit.
No.
But he doesn't make a formal mitzvah.
No, I mean, he just doesn't observe. You see the child, around bar mitzvah time, doesn't observe. So that itself is a machor. Yeah, we assume that itself is a machor. The child is not observing mitzvahs. We assume that is the machor.
What does it mean not observe? It speaks a Lashon Hara.
Some of my best friends talk Lashon Hara. No, the Kabbalah on mitzvahs of the Ger means the way the Jews observe the mitzvahs. So the Jews in different locations in the world observe the mitzvahs differently.
Shabbos.
So some places in Williamsburg, if the woman's going to convert, she's not going to cover her hair, but there's no Kabbalah on mitzvahs. A woman just converted from Williamsburg, so she knows everybody covers their hair there, so of course she's Kabbalah on mitzvahs, going to cover her hair. And other parts of the world, the rabbi's wife doesn't cover her hair, no one in the shul, so you're not going to bring up the issue about covering her hair. It depends which society. What the ger or the gerus has to accept upon himself to observe mitzvahs, like religious Jews observe mitzvahs. Years ago, they never used to talk about Taras HaMishpacha by gerim. They never, the Orthodox Jews barely observe Taras HaMishpacha. So what do you not expect from the ger? Now it's more in style. Now it's more yadua. My father was in the Rabbanis for many, many years. My father had positions where they had Fruma Balabatim. He said no one ever asked the Mashal on Taras HaMishpacha. It wasn't in style then. He only had one woman ask the Mashal, but she was a Giyur, said he was Megayer. And she used to wear a Shetel. And when she moved to Seattle, she used to call him up with the Shailas on the telephone. But he said, the style then when nobody asked Shailas on Taras HaMishpacha. Somehow the Balabatim figured it out on their own. So even the religious Balabatim who did observe Taras HaMishpacha, they never asked Shailas. And now it's more common, now it's more mefursim that the Orthodox women observe Taras HaMishpacha. So we usually bring it up by a Giyuris. We usually bring it up by the Giyuris. They know that the Orthodox women observe Taras HaMishpacha. So we want to know, are they up to par? Are they prepared to observe Taras HaMishpacha?
Eretz Yisrael, the Giyuris is done by the base, the Rabbanut.
It's supposed to be, yeah.
So, anything done in Eretz Yisrael, we could presume is okay?
I didn't say that. That's a big problem.
That's a loaded question.
That's a big problem. I would not assume so. No, the Gary situation in America is very problematic, and Eretz Yisrael is worse. Worse than it is in America. Much worse than it is in America.
So you have to look at each situation.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Some people in the Heilige Jewish Week misunderstood what was going on. So they thought that the Rabbinical Council of America, under pressure from the chief rabbinate, decided to change the whole standard of Geirus. The Rabbinical Council of America was not pressured by the chief rabbinate. The situation in Israel is much worse than it is in America. The Rabbinical Council of America, the RCA, decided on their own. They had a committee working on this. They decided the situation of Geirus is very poor, and they wanted to upgrade the standards. So they had a whole committee working on it for a couple of years, and they worked out what the standards are. So most of the rabbanim joined along. Some of them didn't want to join along. So those who don't join along, those who join along, so we have rules and regulations what the standard is. And then when the rabbinate in Eretz Yisrael was trying to upgrade their geirus, so we made a contact with the Rabbinical Council of America. So we're adopting some of the standards that they have there. But it wasn't under the pressure from the Israeli rabbin. The Israeli rabbin has bigger problems on their hands than the American rabbin. For various reasons. There is an issue that comes up every so often. Let's say the man was married to a non-Jewish woman, and the moel did the bris milah. He didn't know that the mother was not Jewish. He thought this was a Jewish baby, and he gezocht all the brachas like a regular bris milah. So later on, if the child wants to convert, do you require a hatochas dam bris? But you say, no, the bris was done. The bris was done, l'shem mitzvah smila, but it wasn't done l'shem geiris. So this was a big issue. So one of the big rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael, Dayan Verna, he was a Dayan in the Bezin in Tel Aviv, they had big batidinim, all the big batidinim in Eretz Yisrael used to be in Tel Aviv. He was a son-in-law of Rabbi Yankim Moshe Chalap. They published, I think after he died, they published a collection of his Jewish Mishpatei Shmuel. So he wrote a long tshuva on this. And he was mavar that the overwhelming majority of the poskim say that there's no need to repeat the bris milah. The bris was done originally by a Jewish moel, l'shem mitzvah milah. Later on, the child wants to convert. So Leitchik Paskin also like that, without reading the long tshuva. He said there's a Ramban in Yavam, it says like that in fighting. That's all. As far as he's concerned, it's a Ramban. And he has it in his essay called Dodi Dofek. When he spoke about the Yom HaTzmaut, around 10 years after Hakam Samadina, so he spoke about the Ribbono Shel knocking on the door, and we should all come to Eretz Yisrael, and he was knocking on the Shtender called Doidi Doifek. He gave a hold of Russia. So he has footnotes over there that have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. So one of the long footnotes is about Geirus. So he put this in a footnote, that if the Moel did the Milah, the Shem Mitzvah, and later on the person wants to convince it, there's no need to repeat. In Eretz Yisrael, they had Diane Weiss from Manchester, Klein Vadain, I think, Abros Vadain, whichever one it was. And then when they invited him to come to Eretz Yisrael to be the head of the Eda Haredes, the Pesach with Eda Haredes, Minchas Yitzchok, so he was known as the Goy Na Bezna of Yerushalayim. So the Gaiver of Yerushalayim, so he has a tshuva. So he writes in his tshiva that even though 99% of the poskim say you don't have to, you don't have to do the bris sova, but one of the Hungarian poskim says you do. So that's the din. If you have 99 poskim say one way, and one Hungarian poskim says the other way, so the din is like the Hungarian poskim lechum. But that's generally not the accepted opinion. Usually, it's accepted like Dayan Werner. Right? In fact, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva and Har Tzvi Chelik Yeredeya a tshuva to Dayan Werner. So he writes, I'm an old man, I have no koyach to write tshuvas. I read your tshuva and you're right. I'm asking if you. Bottom line, you're correct, there's no need to repeat the Hatovas numbers. If a non-Jew comes who had a circumcision not done l'shem Mila, or was done by a non-Jewish Moel, so then the Gemara has a machlekes Hatanoim and Tosis has a machlekes Rishonim. So the accepted psak is that we would require a Hatovas numbers when the non-Jew would want to convert. There was an Asik here in the New York area many years ago, a Jewish girl, wealthy, very wealthy girl, fell in love with a non-Jewish boy, and they converted the boy and they got married, and within the Shiva Simei Mishta, the boy emptied out all of her bank accounts and he disappeared and they never saw him again.
Religiously?
Yes, he disappeared. So the girl was never Hanaguna. So the rabbi went to Rabbi Soloveitchik and he asked him, is there any way to permit the girl to remarry without a get? Maybe the geris was not valid. So Rabbi Soloveitchik asked, did anything change after he was Mizgayer? Did he daven? Did he bench? Did he say Kiddush? Nothing. He didn't bench, he didn't daven, didn't keep Shabbos, didn't keep Kat, nothing with nothing. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, he kept nothing? So there's nothing, so there's no geris. A Kabbalah Salmitz, it was not Kabbalah, nothing, he doesn't need a get. They weren't married. They didn't get him the money back. That maifas he didn't do. They said, you don't need it. So the rabbi, this rabbi is a very, he thinks Rabbi Soloveitchik is God. So every word that Rabbi Soloveitchik, I think Rabbi Soloveitchik is assistant to God. But no, he's not God himself. Not yet. So this rabbi thinks that the halacha is magic. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, he didn't keep anything. So then the ger says not a year. So this rabbi is of the opinion that if the ger kept one mitzvah, then the ger cannot be overturned. So this rabbi has a practice, whenever he converts a non-Jew, when they come out of the mikveh, he'll give him a cookie, and he'll say a bracha, bari min mezainis. That's it. You can't reverse that ger. They said that they did a mitzvah. Rabbi Soloveitchik gives up.
Did you wash your hands first?
I don't know. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, if he didn't keep anything, so he's medayik, halacha is not magic, and it's not correct, and Rabbi Soloveitchik obviously didn't mean that. In that case, he kept nothing. If he says he's going to keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Dominic and Krishna, he doesn't keep, so there's no kabbalah. It's hochich sofal tchilosa, that the whole geiris is not valid at all. Years ago, there was an asik when Rabbi Gorin was chief rabbi. There was a German non-Jew who wanted to convert. It's very interesting. In the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the Churban Abayis, and after, when they were killing so many Jews, they were roidifing so many Jews, so there was a very high percentage of Gerim, Romans, who converted. They saw that this is the Abba Nivchar, that these people are being geroided for nothing. And it was then that they composed the Nusach HaTfilah, Ala Tzedik Malachsin Al Gerim HaTzedek Ve'Aleinu. There was such a group of people they put in the Nusach HaGeri HaTzedek. And now also, the highest percentage of converts today, much higher than their representation in the world, is German converts, descendants from Nazis. They look back and they see, that's what our parents did, that's what our grandparents did, these people must be holy people. The percentage of German Gerim is much higher than the percentage of Germans in the world. The certain percentage of the world population of Germans, much higher percentage of Gerim are from the Germans. Interesting. So there was a German who wanted to convert when Rabbi Gorin was the chief rabbi. So he said he wants to be a member of the Jewish faith, but he wants to remain a member of the German nationality. So Rabbi Gorin said, we can't accept you, because the Gemara learns that dina from the Pasuk in Megillas Rus, that Rus, on her way back to Eretz Yisrael, Naomi was Megai Ruah, so she said, Amechami, Velakai Chalakoi. So the Gemara says, Amechami, she's joining the Jewish people. And it's not Rabbi Gorin didn't invent it, that's what it says in the Gemara. When the Ger comes to convert, you have to ask him, are you prepared to join this group of people? You're going to be hated. You have to tell them the honest truth. You're going to have difficulty finding a shidduch. The goy manaka, you're not allowed to marry a goy, and the Jews are going to give you a hard time. The Jews are not going to want to marry you. You have to tell them in advance, and then you have to tell them, you know, the Jewish people are downtrodden, and everybody, there's so much anti-Semitism all over the world. You have to warn them in advance. You have to tell them you're becoming a member of the Jewish nation. So that's takeli kuvel. The whole idea of being Jewish is the eschav goy gadol. It's not a function of mishpacha, like we said. It's not an idea you're a member of the mishpacha of the Jewish people. You're a member of this goy, so you have to agree to serve as a member of the Jewish people.
Could you explain to us one thing, please, because it happens every day. We have so many friends where the husband is Jewish and the wife is not, and the only thing she didn't do was she didn't convert, but she supports him. And when it comes to the bris mila, she wants the boy to have
this. Yeah, yeah.
What happens?
In Europe, after the First World War, there was a lot of intermarriage. The overwhelming majority of the rabbonim said that it's not proper to be mal, a baby who's born from a non-Jewish mother,
even though the father's Jewish,
because the kid is going to grow up, he's going to think that he's Jewish. It would have been good. There is a din, you can convert a young child, gerkot matbi lemosa das bezin, based on zochin, if it's a schus. A schus is only if he's brought up by observant parents. But over here, the mother is not Jewish. So what does that help? He's eating bishalakim every day. That's not considered an observant mother. It's going to be a problem. You see, usually when you have a gerkot matbi lemosa das bezin, so you don't talk to the little baby, you talk to the parents. They speak to the parents. Are you going to raise the child as an observant Jew? You're going to send him to yeshiva? He says yes. When you have an adult who's converting, say, speak to the adult. Do you commit yourself to observe all the mitzvahs? What if you have a child who's around 11 years old? He's close to bas mitzvah, bar mitzvah. They're intelligent enough to understand what Geirus is. According to our rules and regulations, they're not yet bar mitzvah. But the Rambam writes, by non-Jews, there is no din of bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, 12 and 13. When the child is intelligent enough to understand what's going on, so he's considered a bar das. So every so often you have such a case that they're adopting a child. Yeah, just recently, before the summer, had a case. A woman, they had their own children, and then they adopted more children. So this adopted girl was brought up by the mother. The mother even took her to the mikveh. When the mother used to go to the mikveh, Paris HaMishpacha, she used to bring the daughter, to educate the daughter what a mikveh is all. She didn't take her into the mikveh, but she'd explain once a month, she has to go to the mikveh, and she explained some of the dinim to the girl. So then, when the girl was around 11 years old, so they were megayer the daughter. So one of the rabbanim, who was running the bezin, was talking to the mother. Are you gonna raise the chumps? You're not supposed to talk to the mother. The girl is already intelligent enough to talk to her on her own. So she spoke to the mother, then we spoke to the girl also. This wasn't the case of ger kotmat bilamos adaz bezin. According to the Rambam, that's a ger gadol for a non-Jew. There is no dina bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah.
Child of 11 or 12 is a guy, when he becomes 12 or 13,
yeah, okay. Once he becomes Jewish. Once he becomes Jewish, he only becomes one mitzvah later. Yeah. And he won't be able to higdili yichadim limchos. He won't be able to be moicha. Because since he was intelligent enough at the time that he converted, so we spoke to him, that's his own geiris. It's not based on zochen liyadim shleivifan.
You count from the birth.
Yeah, that's for sure. You count from the birth. You don't count from the day that he converted, yeah. Of course, we have a din that a Gioris is not permitted to marry a Kohen. The Gemara has a dispute among the Tanaim. What if the Gioris was converted before the age of 3? Maybe it should be different. The accepted opinion is that even this guy, Rapchusim Bashal Shonavi Amechod, also, she's not permitted to marry a Kohen. Some poskim are of the opinion that that's only a Chumra Midirabbanan, Minatar, all the Tanaim agree that she's permitted to marry a Kohen if she was converted before the age of 3. The simple reading in the Gemara is absolutely not so. But that's what some, you look in Shulchan Aruch, some of the Achronim on the page assumed like that, and then they made a pshetel based on this. So they said that the Kohanim is manazer, only Sofik Kohanim, we're not so sure if they're Kohanim. So since they're only Sofik Kohanim, so Sveka de Rabbanu Lakula, so a Kohen today would be permitted to marry a girl who was converted before the age of 3, because that's only a din de Rabbanu, and it's a Sofik de Rabbanu Lakula. So the Pashtus is, they're both incorrect. For many generations, the early Poskim, the early Achrayim came up with this idea that Kohanim is Malan Zeh Asafakana based on a misreading of the Gemara. And then Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalasha, we must have discussed it once, Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalasha had this dream, we should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and we should bring Korbanos and so on and so forth. So he explained, and then he was a Talmud of Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega was maskim, then Rabbi Kivega sent it to Chassam Sefer. Chassam Sefer was maskim. So part of his presentation was, he wrote a whole Sefer Drishas Tzion, the Tzvi Hirsch Kalasha. Tzvi Hirsch Kalasha appears on the bottom of the page in Yerei Day. He's the Tzvi Latzadik on the bottom of every page. So he was a big poisik. So he came up with this chiddush that Kohanim today are Vaday Kohanim, they're not Sofer Kohanim. And there was a misreading of the Gemara. So that's not correct. And then the other point is also not correct, to say that a Gioris who converted before the age of three is only prohibited to marry Koimid the Rabbana. The Pashtus is that it's not correct. We even have a din in Rambam, let's say a woman converted and she was pregnant at the time she has a baby girl. So the daughter is born Jewish, but the beginning of the pregnancy was when the mother and the daughter were not Jewish. That's why we call Hayrasu Shalom Bigdusha, but Hayrasu Bigdusha. The pregnancy began when the mother was not Jewish and the mother converted in the middle. So in Shulchan Aruch, the commentaries write based on a Rambam that the girl is not permitted to marry a kohen, and even b'diyeh, but if she did marry a kohen, she has to get divorced. What if you have a different situation where there's no conversion at all? Let's say a non-Jewish man lives with a Jewish woman, and they have a daughter. So the Gemara has a suffix, what's the din of such a case? Akam habal bas Yisrael, a nice Jewish girl, her father is not Jewish. Is she permitted to marry a kohen? So in the Gemara, it's an ibay the leib shita, it's a suffix. So Rabbi Avadya Yosef paskins like the Shulchan Aruch for the Sfardim that she's permitted to marry a kohen. But the Ashkenazim don't paskin like that. Ashkenazim paskin that she's not lechatchila, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. But yevid, if she by mistake she married a kohen, the din would be that in nisus loy teitzeh. But lechatchila she's not permitted to marry a kohen. So Chacham Avadya is known he will paskin like this for Ashkenazim also, which is not really right. Ashkenazim, if she give it Ashkenazi psak. Someone published a sefer about Chacham Avadya a couple of years ago. It's entitled Moran Ad Moran. From the days of Moran Habes Yosef till Moran Chacham Avadya. And he writes that in the early years of the Medina, the first 20, 30 years, Sataka was not fair. They had Ashkenazi Dayan and were giving Ashkenazi psak for the Sfardim also, which was not right. They should have asked, are you Ashkenazi? For the Sfardim, they should have given Sfardi psak. So Chacham Avadya is not taking revenge the last 25, 30 years. So he will force Sfardi psak on Ashkenazim. Both are not right. They're both not right. They should never have done that in the first place, and Chacham Avadya shouldn't do it either. It's a pelos. So Chacham Avadya read the whole book that's written. It's a doctoral dissertation by Benny Lau. I think it was his doctoral dissertation. Mimor and Amon, he analyzes the style of psak of Chacham Avadya Yosef. And Rabbi Avadya Yosef wrote him a letter. Yes, he hit the nail on the head. That's exactly my policy. He agreed to everything that is said in the book. That's a whole two pages in the book. I think it's a condemnation. Anyway, let me just close. The Gemara makes a statement that Koshim Gerim Yisrael Kisapachas, that when you have Gerim, it's Tzoris for the Jewish people. So Tosfos has two interpretations on the Gemara. The one interpretation is because the Gerim are very frum, and they show up the Jewish people. We're not as frum as the Gerim. And the other interpretation is the Gerim hitnish kemitzvahs, and they make kilkulim for everybody. Truth in the matter, the Eil or the Eil, they're both correct. Sometimes you have a Ger who's extremely frum, that's a Ger Tzedek, who's extremely motivated, and that's Taka, the first pshat. And then you have other Gerim who are not Ger Yat Tzedek. The Shvach Gerim, they barely keep the mitzvahs, and a lot of times they violate the mitzvahs. So the Batidinim have to be careful. We have enough Tzoris as it is, so the really Batidim should be careful only to accept such Gerim who are religiously motivated. Those who are not Ger Tzedek, so the Gemara recommends you shouldn't accept such Gerim. Long, long story, big problems. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of the story. Agutavach.
Excuse me. The Gerim didn't say why they suffered because it took them so long to come in?
Yes.
Yes. Is it possible the purpose of the Beis Din is to bring on a Shechina? Doesn't it say the Shechina comes to a Beis
Din?
So maybe that's the purpose.
Yes,
is to make a contract between, not that the Beis Din has any power or whatever, but it's now it's a contract between God and the Shechina.